There's day-to-day reality, and then there's superior reality. That's what André Breton's Surrealist Manifesto was aiming for, an artistic and spiritual revolution.
This text was explosive, a poetic grenade.
Surrealism rejects reason, logic, and even language, all of which its acolytes believed obscured deeper, more mystical truths.
Le surréalisme est avant tout un mouvement de libération de la poésie.
A dive into the subconscious that produced some of the 20th century's most avant-garde and troubling works of art.
Surrealism is the victory of the imagination.
100 years on, its legacy still infuses art and culture. Paying tribute to French poet Guillaume Apollinaire, credited by many as the inventor of the term surrealism, the manifesto establishes the main principles of a movement that was to stretch into the 20th century.
The poet André Breton wrote the Surrealist Manifesto in 1924. Initially, it was meant to be the preface for a collection of poems. Then he made it a standalone text, and it became a sort of trigger for a movement that spread across Europe and eventually across the globe.
In the early 1920s, this Parisian café was a regular haunt for artists, the Closerie des Lilas. It's where Breton and the founder of Dadaism, Tristan Tzara, had an argument and surrealism was born. The movement was heavily influenced by the ideas in Freudian psychoanalysis, which Breton and fellow poet Louis Aragon had recently discovered.
In France, it was artists and poets who were the first ones to introduce the concept of psychoanalysis, and it was via surrealists like Breton and Aragon that its ideas were discussed. They both came from a medical background, but they turned to the arts, to revolution even. They were defectors.
The manifesto was written in the wake of the First World War. André Breton saw the bloodbath up close and observed the mental torment of the wounded soldiers he treated.
Breton was called up in 1915, and because of his time at medical school, he was sent to hospitals. He was in various barracks, but we do know that during one of the major offenses in the Somme, he served as a stretcher bearer, so he saw those heaps of dead bodies piled high.
A rejection of the folly of war, surrealism was also influenced by 19th century symbolist painting and shared some of the nonsensical features of Dadaism. One of the nascent movement's central ideas was automatism, a practice Breton developed with fellow poet Philippe Suppot.
On ne pourra comprendre le surréalisme que si on se met dans la place de jeunes gens qui voulaient absolument se révolter et en même temps créer une atmosphère poétique nouvelle.
Their collaborative text, The Magnetic Fields, spearheaded automatic writing. It aimed to suppress the artist's consciousness during the creative process.
How can you transpose that idea to a visual format? It took artists a few years to work it out. In the end, it was Max Ernst, the German artist, who found a way to produce art that was not driven by reason. That's how he invented the frottage technique. It involved laying paper over an old wooden board, rubbing on the paper, and seeing forests and monsters appear.
The movement had a double mission, to establish a new aesthetic and bring about the overthrow of oppressive structures like capitalism.
Surrealism
has always had two main pillars. On the one hand, it refers to Karl Marx's slogan, change the world, that is, take action when it comes to the socio-political reality of the present day. And the other pillar is a poetic one, that is, poet Arthur Rimbaud's Change Your Life.
The manifesto also asserted that surrealist activity follows no conventional plan, has no specific direction. Nevertheless, its author did emerge as a natural leader.
C'était l'homme peut-être le plus surréaliste dans un sens. L'homme qui faisait la loi parmi nous. Et moi qui n'aimais pas beaucoup d'être mené Mais j'acceptais Breton dans tout ce qu'il faisait. Je lui faisais confiance.
Nicknamed the Pope of Surrealism, André Breton put his doctrine above all else, even when it meant breaking with other high-profile artists.
Évidemment.
Obviously, being quite strict, at times he came up against other artists for whom surrealism had become more of a commercial concern. That was the case with Dali in particular.
Au point de vue poète, c'est peut-être un des plus médiocres de tout le monde surréaliste. Il a découvert le mécanisme de la poésie dans tous ses manifestes parce qu'il se disait comment on doit faire pour être poète. Et alors c'est ça ce qui a fait qu'il a défini merveilleusement le surréalisme.
Dali's artwork was to define surrealism in Spain as the movement spread across Europe to Latin America, the Middle East and Asia. Yet much closer to its Parisian roots, a very distinctive school of surrealism was taking hold in neighboring Belgium.
Et à un moment donné,
at one point, Belgian artists like Magritte, Belgian gallery owners, went to Paris because there was really something happening there. Cultural and artistic exchanges. And they wanted to be part of the action.
René Magritte emerged as the Belgian surrealist par excellence. His painting, The Treachery of Images, shows an ordinary object with an incongruous slogan.
Magritte and his contemporaries use a very figurative, visual language. It's quite personal, but also very close in technique to the old masters. These are simple objects that everyone's familiar with. It's easy to read. It's strange, but not too strange. At the same time, the viewer can see that there's another world hidden within.
As well as showcasing Magritte's disquieting canvases, this exhibition includes subversive work from the women who were key contributors to the movement, Toi Young, Dorothea Tanning and Léonore Fini.
These women took advantage of surrealism's libertarian spirit and of the circles they were moving in. They weren't exactly invited to be members of the group, but they seized the opportunity to embrace that freedom.
Manipulating images to create new realities was not only a question of oil on canvas. The development of lighter, more sophisticated cameras in the early 20th century meant that pictures could be automated like poetry. Surrealist photography forged ahead and was often used in the service of the fashion industry, while designers like Elsa Schiaparelli wove surrealism into her creations.
Dreams have always been a big part of surrealist photography, and it's a departure from a simple representation of real life. It's funny because if you look at this photo taken by Man Ray for Harper's Bazaar at that time, you can see that he's put a recent painting of his in the background. And it's worth pointing out that photographers, notably Man Ray, a surrealist, was earning his living at the time thanks to the fashion industry. Thanks to magazine shoots, he wasn't living from the sale of his artwork.
And since couture houses specialize in the confection of fantastical, dreamlike worlds, surrealism and fashion are a natural match.
One thing that the world of fashion and the surrealists have in common is their sense of humor, especially when it comes to getting a message across. A humorous way of saying, open your eyes, or open your third eye, the one that opens up when we dream.
I'm trying to, again, continue a tradition of the surrealist movement and find my very modern approach to it.
Marcus Schaefer's black and white portraits have graced magazine covers and gallery walls alike. The artist says he's inspired by the movement's universal ideals.
I came across the movement And I dived into it, and then I started reading parts of the manifesto of André Breton, and then I think it was just the beginning of me trying to spend more thoughts on how I photograph, going beyond the idea of shooting the exact likeness of something. You know, there's a timeless momentum that photography has. You're able to create your very own reality. At the very core of the idea of surrealism, it's linked to psychic automatism, which in other words is linked to subconscious, which in other words is linked to something that every single person on this planet practices every day, which is dreaming.
Certain themes and forms are echoed in Marcus's sculpture and painting too. With photography, he uses special techniques, for example, layering images to make composites, a nod to the surrealist collages. He also uses multiple light sources and distorting materials to go beyond a simple flat depiction.
When it's about taking a potentially a surreal portrait of a person, and for me, I guess I'm not trying to focus on one specific thing. What I'm trying to do usually is trying to capture multiple layers. And by doing so, in my idea, I am able to dive into this subconscious level of someone's essence. What I like capturing in one image is basically the past, the present, and the future. And I mentioned that earlier, right? This one in particular, there's one person that I capture in a shot that could have been like 20 seconds, I guess. But there's so many moments that you capture in this one image.
Images that cast doubt on our perception of reality, surrealism's spectre seems to be omnipresent, one century after André Breton put pen to paper.